Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll take you through some of the main news of the day. Tonight, that includes the ministerial system of government on the island being nearly 40 years old. So is it still fit for purpose? Also this evening, a Ramsay MHK offers his thoughts on how those in public office should conduct themselves online. A local football club is seeking community support for new changing rooms. And we're also going to hear about a sport which you might imagine is quite sedate, but apparently it can get quite lively. We'll also take a look at the latest weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch about anything you hear this evening, you can email studio@manxradio.com or you can also text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with the news headlines with Siobhan. First of all, Fastamai.
Fastamai. The Chief Minister says government will be holding a review following calls for a national inquiry into the sentences handing to criminals convicted of child sexual offences. Alfred Cannon says there are hopes for a sentencing council to be convened, which will be able to conduct reviews into sentencing where it believes changes may need to be made in legislation. A Ramsay MHK says those in public office must balance free speech with their responsibility to the community. Laurie Hooper's responding to concerns over remarks by Ramsay Commissioner Elizabeth Shimmin after she wrote Charlie Kirk should burn in hell after his death.
It's a really difficult balance to strike when you feel strongly about something and you want to express your own view, but also then because of the job you've got or the role that you're in, you do have those wider responsibilities.
Government says it's identified more than £7 million in potential savings as part of the first quarterly report for its efficiencies and change programme. It's part of efforts to deliver what are described as tangible savings and simpler, faster and more cost-effective public services for the island. The Isle of Man Post Office says it's continuing to work with Royal Mail to develop a solution with regards to sending goods to the USA. It follows a suspension of services across the Atlantic, which came into effect on Saturday, the 23rd of August. And FC Isle of Man spiralled to a 5-1 loss last night against AFC Liverpool in the NWCFL Premier Division. Speaking to the club's media at full-time, manager Paul Jones says he takes full responsibility.
Just looked a little bit sixes and sevens in the first half and gaps were far too big and people weren't playing with each other enough, but yeah, we solved that at half time and much better, and then yeah, just fell apart, wheels came off completely, and yeah, it's on me.
Further afield, in the last few minutes, landmark legislation which will abolish the unique not proven verdict in Scotland's courts has been passed at Holyrood. We'll have more on this at 6 o'clock. US and British military families have been invited to watch a parade for the next stage of the pomp and pageantry welcome for Donald and Melania Trump. And Great Britain have their first medal at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. Jake Whiteman won silver in the men's 1500 metres final. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening it'll be dry, bright or sunny spells breaking through at times. The wind will freshen slightly. It's going to be dry overnight, some clear spells and a fresh destroyer. Strong southwest wind, minimum temperatures around 12. Tomorrow, largely cloudy, outbreaks of rain at times. There'll be a moderate wind that'll strengthen in the afternoon. Best temperatures tomorrow will be 17. Sunset this evening at 7:31. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:56.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. Well, today we've been hearing that the Chief Minister has responded to calls for a national inquiry into the sentencing outcomes for criminals convicted of child sexual offences on the island. Why? Well, it follows concerns raised by some Manx residents and politicians over what are seen as lenient outcomes in the courts for paedophiles here. Well, Lewis is with me now. Lewis, clearly a difficult subject to talk about, but would you just give us some background as to why this has come about?
Sure, Beth. So those concerns you mentioned there are best summed up in an email to Alfred Cannon from Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby. In this email, she said she'd been contacted by numerous constituents who were deeply distressed by recent sentencing outcomes for child sex offences handed down by the Isle of Man courts. She hasn't given specific examples, but says the consistent message is clear. The current sentencing guidelines are far too lenient. She outlined what she says are the toughest, the strongest calls, I should say. Number one, a national inquiry into sentencing of child sex offenders to ensure children are protected and offenders face meaningful punishment. Number two, recognition that repeat breaches of sexual harm prevention orders are met with inadequate penalties, fueling public anger and eroding trust in justice. Number three, a view that the courts and current sentencing guidelines appear to prioritise offenders over victims, leaving the island's children exposed to further risk. Four, strong calls for members of Tynwald to stand up publicly on behalf of their constituents and demand tougher, more effective sentencing. And number five, concern that without government intervention, leniency will continue to embolden offenders and lead to further harm. Those are the calls she says are coming from Manx residents right now. And Mrs. Maltby goes on to say the overwhelming feeling across the island is that enough is enough. Constituents are not reassured by existing responses. They want the government to acknowledge these concerns and take decisive action. She then urged the Chief Minister to make a public statement committing to a national inquiry.
Well, you mentioned the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, there. I understand he has responded. What did he have to say to Mrs. Maltby?
So in his response, he said he acknowledges the content of the email and agrees that any sexual offences against children are appalling. He says he's spoken with the Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, who he says recognises that there is much public concern about this matter and that the community deserve to know that offenders are brought to justice and managed effectively in the community when they are released from prison. And now, while the words national inquiry are not mentioned in Mr. Cannon's response, and he certainly didn't commit to one like Mrs. Maltby requested, he's trying to outline where government is taking action in respect of crimes of this nature. One example he gives is a commitment to reviewing the impact of the new Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Act 2021 after it had been in operation for 18 months. Well, that came into force in March 2024, so is due to be reviewed shortly. That act, the Chief Minister says, significantly modernised the legal framework around sexual offences, including those involving children. It introduces new offences, increased sentencing powers and modernised provisions to reflect contemporary challenges. Now, this addition to his letter is interesting because he also says that Minister Paul Wilson assures her department is bringing forward legislation which will include the ability to convene a sentencing council. So this will be a body that will be able to conduct reviews into sentencing, like is being called for, and make recommendations to the Isle of Man government where it believes changes may need to be made.
So, Lewis, possibly we could see some of those concerns addressed in the coming years if the review of the legislation and the sentencing council agree there's a need.
It seems that way, and we have requested an interview, I should say, with the Justice and Home Affairs Minister to hear her thoughts about this.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. It is 8 minutes past five, and the area plan for the North and West could come into operation before the end of the year if it's approved by Tynwald. Now, this provides a planning framework which all applications for development will be assessed against. Amy has the details.
The plan is a comprehensive document which aims to set out appropriate ways of managing and guiding development to meet social, environmental and economic needs. That includes the zoning of land which could be turned into new homes. It also lays out how existing settlements can be developed, which would guide any future regeneration of the island's town and village centres. For example, a comprehensive treatment area in Ramsey is included, which is hoped to support positive change in the town and a coordinated approach to regeneration. Government says the plan sets the scene for the delivery of commitments outlined in the Climate Change Act of 2021 ahead of a full review of strategic planning policy. It follows a public inquiry held last year and a consultation on the proposed modifications earlier this year. The final plan has now been adopted by the Cabinet Office and will be brought before Tynwald next month. If it's supported by politicians, it will come into operation on the 1st of December. From then, any current, older local plans and remaining parts of the 1982 development plan would be replaced. The Council of Ministers has also committed to producing a review of the public service, which will assess how services such as health, education, transport and utilities can meet current and projected community needs in the north and west of the island. That will take place by the 30th of June 2026, if Tynwald agrees.
Amy Griffiths reporting. It is 10 past five and a Ramsey commissioner has come under fire for comments she made on social media. Elizabeth Shimon wrote that US political commentator Charlie Kirk, who was shot dead last week, should burn in hell. The MHK's Stu Peters called the remarks ignorant, crass and unnecessary, while Ramsey commissioners say they are making inquiries. Well, the Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper says politicians must remember that even on personal accounts, they carry responsibility to their communities.
Because most of our politicians are independents, there isn't really a mechanism for politicians to be held to those standards. So in our case in Tynwald, for example, it's up to Tynwald to enforce standards on itself, which doesn't always work very well, as we've seen recently in a couple of cases. And it's the same at a local authority level there. Their complaints process, you know, there isn't one. I think what I expect is if an organisation like a commission, Board of Commission or Tynwald, for example, resolves not to have confidence in someone or to censure someone or whatever it may be, that actually that individual takes that on board themselves and does the right thing.
And when you say does the right thing, is that a resignation?
I think it depends. I think it depends on what you've done, ultimately, and it depends on what the public view is out there. It could be that an apology is sufficient, and if you look at the way Tynwald standards work, the starting point is always some sort of apology, and actually that's pretty routine in Tynwald. You know, if you misspeak in a debate, if you say the wrong thing, people stand up and say, look, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean that, or I said something that came out wrong. That's perfectly fine. If you've done something more serious, ultimately, you know, there are things like you can be suspended or you can ultimately be asked to resign.
A lot of people will be looking at what's happening in the UK with the number of sackings and resignations and wondering whether public accountability should play a part here.
I think you're right. I think it absolutely should. But if you look at what's happening in the UK, those are the reactions of a political party to things that are going on that are contrary to that party's values. It's not really about government. You know, you haven't seen Parliament in the UK take a vote on any of these sackings or resignations recently. That hasn't happened. They've been individual politicians and individual party structures making those calls as to people that should be suspended, have the whip removed, or people that have resigned or been sacked as a result of things they've, you know, said or done. Whereas here, we don't really have any of that. You don't have that level of collective pressure. You don't have that sense of collective responsibility. And so individual politicians can say or do things, and ultimately it's up to them to decide whether they should resign or whether they need to step back from public life.
That's a Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper. We should say we have invited Ms. Shimin to respond and are yet to hear back. 13 minutes past five, and it was announced yesterday that former Douglas Mayor Richie McNichol had died. In a social media post, his daughter confirmed he'd been suffering from cancer and passed away on Sunday. A long-serving councillor, Mr. McNichol had held the position of mayor four times. John Moss has been taking a look back at his life.
If you had to pick out one particular quality of Richard Henry McNichol, it would probably be how likeable he was, his quick wit, his enjoyment of the straight-faced quip that could defuse a situation readily. But still, where necessary, he could reflect the gravitas a situation might deserve. And that, as noted when he was elected mayor in 2011, commanded respect. David Christian, in later years, when Richie announced he was stepping back from being a councillor, said he was someone you could always turn to for support. Mayor four times, councillor for Murray's ward, he was a man who was proud to serve his town and its people. The development of Pull Rose and widespread improvements to leisure and community facilities he was proud of. The development of fast food outlets on Peel Road was a recent issue that caught his attention.
I'm not saying that we should just sit back and let anything happen in Douglas. And there are differing views on the location down there. But I remember when Quirk's Bakery were down there, when there was a lot of car retailers down there.
He was anxious to try and bring credit to Douglas. The promenade and its deterioration over the years and its eventual refurbishment was high on his agenda. In interviews, he couldn't resist bringing in some humour where he could.
If we just step back and have a look at that, that's a roof that basically is a living roof. It's growing.
It is.
And it's no capable, maintenance. It's capable of standing what comes over the promenade of a winter, is it?
Yes, yes.
And it's a red colour.
Yes.
And that's the level it'll stay at. It's not going to get big and bushy, or does it need to be mown?
No.
You're not going to have to go on top with a lawnmower.
No, wait. You know those goats that climb trees?
Yes, you get some of those.
We're going to put a couple of them up there.
Very useful.
He was in every way a servant to his town and its needs, and his election as mayor four times reflected how respected and loved Richie McNichol was by both the folk of Douglas, his colleagues, and indeed his many, many friends.
John Moss looking back at the life of former Douglas Mayor Richie McNichol.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing being reported on the police pages, which is good news. It's the usual traffic lights I've been hearing about, and just remembering that the Mountain Road is closed from Brandywell to the Cregner Bar. That's going to be until Monday, the 20th of October. All okay down at the airport, but there is a little bit of a delay with the Manxman this evening. It's going to be leaving Douglas at 7:15, getting into Heysham at 11. Otherwise, everything else running to time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
16 minutes past five. I actually meant that the Manxman is going to be going at 9:15, so it's going to be a lot later getting into Heysham, so all the details are on the Steam Packet website. Now, a local football club is asking for community support to help build new changing rooms. Pulrose United has been in talks with Douglas Council after its old facility was condemned and demolished, with only a temporary replacement put in place. Life member Paul Henry says tenders for the project come back far higher than the funds available from the council and the Football Foundation.
First realised there was a problem due to a lack of maintenance to the old changing rooms. They were a wooden structure, the roof was leaking, timbers were rotting, and we did, in fact, have an infestation of vermin. That was back in 2010, would you believe? And we contacted the council. They said they'd look into it. Sorry, but there's no money to maintain the building. And that's pretty much what's been told to me for the last 15 years.
And now you have a temporary structure on the same site. So how has this current setup been working for you and the club?
It's worked, but not great. And when these were put in place, the porter cabin was put in place 3 years ago. So we've spent three seasons in a building. Has got light, but no water, no showers, obviously. Nowhere to store any kit or equipment. And portaloos outside, provided by the council, but obviously far from ideal.
So what are you hoping to achieve by fundraising?
Hoping to achieve something near what we think will be the final build cost. At the moment, we haven't reached that amount. We hope to get a lottery trust grant. If that becomes part of it, it makes finding the rest of it a lot easier. But if we do employ our own builders, we're hoping the builders will let us use some of our own tradespeople and we can lower the cost there. The final amount is pretty much impossible to say.
How have the players been dealing with the changing room issue?
I think the players have been amazing, and I would like to thank visiting teams that come here. They've no showers. They're sent halfway up the hill. They're getting changed in very basic accommodation, and the fact that they've all said to us, well, good luck in the future, because we know what you're going through and you shouldn't have to go through this. But the sooner we get a permanent solution, the better.
That is life member of Pulrose United, Paul Henry, talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper there. 18 and a half minutes past five. Well, when the electors go to the polls for the House of Keys general election, which is almost exactly a year away, the ministerial system will be 40 years old. In 1986, it replaced the old board system. So is it still fit for purpose, or does it need a rethink? Here's John again.
The man who was there first as Chief Minister was Sir Miles Walker, and he feels the Council of Ministers system was a game changer.
I think when the Council of Ministers was first set up, we had about 10,000 people unemployed in the winter on the Isle of Man. When I looked at the reserves, we had about £10 million. We just extended Douglas Breakwater, we just built, we being Tynwald, just built the new reservoir and exhausted any available funds. So that was the background to when we set up. I can remember, it's just an anecdote really, meeting with Tony Brown, who I knew outside of Tynwald anyway. And one Thursday after a council of ministers, we went to the Quarter Bridge just to discuss what had happened, and we went in and had a pint at the Quarter Bridge, and we came out and we stood on the Quarter Bridge roundabout at 5:15, and there wasn't one car. I mean, the economy was in that sad state, and I believe that it's because we had a council of ministers, because we had a drive to make things successful.
This is the document that applies, the Council of Ministers Act 1990. Well, no system is perfect. Former MHK Edgar Quine, for instance, felt too much authority ended up with the chief minister.
The present position is, of course, that principally because of the advent of the ministerial system of government, we now have an arrangement here where there is a very small measure of democratic government here, because the government of the day, by virtue of the patronage of the chief minister, that is patronage in the sense that he is the kingmaker, he appoints people, he removes people, he effectively decides the remuneration, a large part of the remuneration of members of Tynwald, that he therefore holds the reins to such an extent that he controls the legislature.
So, is the ministerial system and thereby the working of government overdue for an overhaul? And if so, who carries it out?
John Moss reporting there to say just over a year until the 2026 House of Keys general election. We're going to be reflecting on that on Breakfast next week. And there's also going to be a chance for you to let us know what you think the election issues should be and what we should be asking the potential candidates who are going to be standing. So do stay tuned for that. 21.5 minutes, just about past five. So when you think of bowling, you might imagine a gentle pastime, but those taking part say it can get surprisingly lively. And this weekend, there's a charity tournament that's being held to raise money for the Motor Neuron Disease Association. Michelle Cubbon and Jenny Moore have been talking to Christy about it.
Basically, you have a jack and you have your two balls, and you send, well, you can call it a block as well. So you send your block out and it has to go a minimum distance of 19 metres, but it can go as far as you can. And then the idea of the game is to just get your two balls closer to the jack than the person you're playing. So basically, it's the first to score 21 points as well.
Michelle, what is it about it that you love so much, and how long have you been doing it for?
Oh, well, I started in 2018, so I was an older bowler coming in. I wish I'd have done it earlier, because it's a phenomenal sport. It's very competitive. It's very social. It's absolutely, from a point of view of somebody who was quite sporty at school, but then had family and didn't really, was involved in sport, coming back into it at a later age, it's phenomenal. It is. It's really something that everybody should think about, but nobody knows about. I mean, I came in, my husband started to play. He asked me if I wanted to come up to play, and to my shame, I said, well, isn't that for older people? And it's absolutely that. It's absolutely for older people, but it's for everybody, from 8 years of age to, I think our oldest bowler is about 95, 96,
yeah, something like that.
Still playing in competitive sport, which, what other sport in the world can you possibly do that?
I said, oh, I'm sure it's terribly genteel and I'm sure everyone's very well behaved. Apparently that's not the case, Jenny.
No, it can get very rowdy.
Rowdy like, bowlers.
We're expecting it Saturday, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be very competitive and everybody's going to be up for it. And
Yeah. So this is the tournament. So tell us about the tournament, because I know you've both been organising it together, haven't you? So Jenny, tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening.
So the tournament is a whole day thing. So throughout the day, there's going to be a different thing of games. So you'll have different formats of mixed doubles, ladies doubles, men's doubles, and we're going to finish the day off with singles. We've also got a couple of sessions for juniors under 16 and over 70s.
That is Jenny Moore and Michelle Cubbon, who are talking to Christy about that charity tournament taking place this weekend to raise money for the motor neuron disease. It is a hugely popular sport over here. I think there's around 1,500 people at least who take part in it in some form or other. And as Michelle and Jenny were just saying there, you can play it from a very young age, so 8 to your mid-90s. So a great thing to go along and have a go at this weekend. Just to let you know, on Spotlight this evening, if you are a dancing queen, listen up. There is an ABBA-themed drag brunch taking place again this weekend. Here, also tonight how young local musicians are being highlighted in the penultimate concert in this year's Ramsey Music Society concert series. Also, how it catches up with the Biosphere artist in residence Amy Howes as she nears the end of her time in the role. And if you've ever fancied having a go at art but didn't know where to go, there is also an open day at the Isle of Man Art Society this weekend. So that's all coming up in Spotlight with Howard just after update. Coming up to 25 past five, sport time now though with Rob Pritchard. Good evening.
Good evening. First off this evening, Manx Liverpool fans are planning to pay tribute to Kean Broadhead at the Merseyside Derby this coming Saturday. The 25-year-old, who's been described as a huge Liverpool fan, died following a road traffic collision last Sunday. The official Isle of Man Liverpool Supporters Club has confirmed those in attendance on Saturday will stand and applaud his memory in the 25th minute. Across the last few days, tributes have been pouring in from across the island for Mr Broadhead, who also played football for Peel AFC's combination team. Peel AFC has confirmed this week both its men's and women's fixtures this weekend have been postponed following Mr Broadhead's death. Elsewhere, former Isle of Man tennis competitor Billy Harris has been knocked out of the qualifiers for this year's Chengdu Open in China. He suffered a straight sets defeat, 7-5, 6-4, to Japan's Taro Daniel in the men's singles second qualifying phase in the early hours of this morning. This result comes after Harris had taken victory over Chinese wildcard Fumin Zhang in the previous stage. Well, despite this outcome, it's been a strong month so far for the former Albany and Castletown player. Harris took his first ATP Challenger title early this month after winning the Cassis Open Provence in France and also reached the semi-finals of the Guangzhou Hangpu International National Tennis Open last week. And in cycling, for the first time in 4 years, there will be no Isle of Man riders representing Great Britain at the UCI Road World Championships. British Cycling has confirmed its 25-rider squad heading to Kigali in Rwanda for the 2025 event from the 21st to the 28th of September. Some major names in the sport feature, including Olympic time trial silver medalist Anna Henderson, as well as Men's World Tour competitors Tom Pidcock and Oscar Onley. Among those from the island who have represented GB in the event in recent years are Sir Mark Cavendish, Max Walker and Lizzie Holden. Well, separately from that, for Max Walker, it's been a good day for him and EF Education EasyPost on the first stage of the Tour of Luxembourg today. Walker's teammate Marin van den Berg took second place, with fellow teammates Richard Carapaz and Ben Healy also both inside the top 20.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Disappointment, wasn't it, for Ravens last night? I mean, oh, we just heard for Paul Jones earlier today talking and, yeah, not a great result, but really seemed like not a lot they could have done at the end.
Well, it follows a similar trend to the 5-0 defeat they had at Bursko a couple of weeks ago, whereby they seemed to be in the contest, in Bursko's case, up to the hour mark, and then with just under 20 minutes to go up against AFC Liverpool, and then it all just seemed to unravel there. And yeah, listening to Paul Jones' comments, clearly quite crestfallen with that, and it means that FC Isle of Man dropped to second from bottom in the table heading to Pilkington on Saturday.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that one, Rob. Thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update this evening. Do stay tuned to Manx Radio, though. Plenty to come for the rest of the night. Coming up next, as I mentioned, it's Spotlight with Howard Kane, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. Greatest Hits follows that with Chris Kinley from 6. At 9, it's Country Roads with Andy Wint, and then Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.